But on average, the average person engages in about 30 conversations a day. I have no idea who does all these things, but apparently the average person has about 30 conversations a day. Also, apparently the average man, if there is such a thing, the average man speaks 25,000 words a day. So if you see yourself as the average man this morning, then apparently you speak 25,000 words a day. Now, for the average woman, would anyone like to guess?
Oh, I'm getting into hot water, aren't I?
Apparently, would anyone like to guess what the average woman, the number of words the average woman apparently speaks in a day? Sorry, who said that? 70,000. Mark Jenkins, you're naughty. Naughty. You're way off. It isn't that surprising, really. See? 30,000. See? And that's not bad, is it? So if you speak a lot, then you just say, oh, I'm just an average woman. Speak 30,000 words. But the point Jesus is making here in this short passage is that our words do carry weight, and there are consequences to how we engage and use our words. Now, last Sunday morning, we were looking at the unpardonable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And we saw what it really means in that context and what it means for us today. In other words, Jesus is saying, primarily in this context, to the religious leaders of his day, that because clearly God has revealed to them in ways that we've not been, has it been revealed to us, that they have seen at first hand the very real work and words of Jesus. At first hand, they've seen, they've heard. And their conclusion, particularly now when many in the crowd are saying, can this be the Son of David? They're saying that he has cast out this demon from this man in verse 22, who was also blind and mute and probably deaf as well, that he did it by Satan. In other words, that he is someone who Satan is operating through. Now, that is blasphemy in the extreme. And so Jesus is saying, if that is your position, then there's no forgiveness. But if this morning you have, like many of us have in the past, have been guilty of misusing the Lord's name, taking the Lord's name in vain, using it in an inappropriate way, there is forgiveness for you. And so it's with that in mind that Jesus now, in verse 32, introduces them to this short parable. Verse 33, rather. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, this sounds familiar. It's as though we've been here before. And you would be quite right. We've already looked at a similar theme earlier in this gospel. In actual fact, that if we study Luke's account and the parallel passages, that we see that Jesus, on numerous occasions, he deals with the power and the misuse and the use of our words. And so the key phrase here in this passage for us this morning is found here at the end of verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the, if you like, that's the principle found in this parable. A good tree will produce good fruit. A bad tree will produce bad fruit. In other words, a healthy tree will produce healthy fruit, and a rotten tree will produce rotten fruit. And it's out is a picture, it's a story, it's an everyday story that people can grasp to teach this principle that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this morning, in the short time we have available to us, we're going to consider clearly it's a rebuke to those who misuse words and cast aspersions upon the Lord Jesus Christ concerning him, and that's a clearly blasphemous. But Jesus also says that there is, for those who misuse their words and who do fall into the trap of blasphemy, but there is forgiveness available this morning. Just wondering, how do you use your words? And your words, Jesus says here, are the expression of your heart. And so very quickly, if you want to know where people are with the Lord, you listen to their conversation. Sometimes in the workplace, the right thing to do, rather than try and win the argument, the right course of action is to pray for those you work with, and that you pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to graciously and gently share with them beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Now, when I was a young child, we used to sing a hymn, you know, and the hymn talked about, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." And really, the greatest thing that we can do for a friend, a neighbour, a relative, a work colleague, and I've designed this message this morning with youngsters in mind as well, the kindest thing that you can do to your friends in school, even though perhaps they might be unpleasant to you, that sometimes and sadly happens, even though they can be a real pain at times, and sadly that can happen, and we can be pains at times, can't we? But the kindest thing that we can ever do is firstly pray for our friends, our unconverted friends and work colleagues and family. Pray for them. And I'm not just saying, oh, pray when you remember, or pray for them when they perhaps have been abusive to you, or they've said some hurtful or unkind words about you. But pray for them regularly, daily, consistently. Pray for them. But also pray that the Lord will give you words of life. And if we want words of life, then we can just share very gently scripture. And what I find and have found over the years is that I can get into a conversation with people and very naturally I can just weave into conversation scripture and they have absolutely no idea that I am sharing scripture with them. They have no idea at all. But you'll be surprised when you, and it takes a little bit of practice and it takes a lot of prayer because we need the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We can't accomplish anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you stick at it, then you'll be very surprised how people respond. For instance, if I was to say, oh, the Bible says, most people that I encounter in this community and certainly in this city who aren't believers, as soon as I say the Bible says, they switch off. But if I was to say, someone who is very wise has said, they're all ears. Someone very wise has said that actually you can tell someone's the state of someone's heart by the words they express. I was in a situation recently and someone was swearing profusely. And I came away and I said to Viv, do you know, the sad thing is that individual had no idea they were swearing. So I didn't come away with an angry, judgmental heart towards that individual. I came away with a sad heart, with a sad spirit, because they had absolutely no idea. And that tells me that the words they were expressing, the words that you're using, were just part of their natural day and natural living. And they had no idea. They were blind to it. And friends, Jesus now, in the heart of this gospel, we've seen now in chapters 11 and 12, different reactions and responses to who he is. We've seen one of doubts with John the Baptist. We've seen criticism. We've seen indifference. We've encountered and seen clearly in these passages open rejection of who Jesus is and who he claims to be. And then we've seen latterly blasphemy. And Jesus draws the line in the sand and says, let me tell you, this is the bottom line. That who you are and what you are before God, then your words will give a very clear indication of it. See, if you spend all your life talking about the economy or the stock market, then I would think that probably the treasure in your heart is probably money. If you spend all your life talking about a film or films that you've recently seen, and that actually is the majority of your conversation words, then it would clearly suggest that the very thing that you love in your life is films. Or if your conversation is dominated about an individual, then maybe that individual you love above Jesus. And so this is very, and I said to Viv this morning, whilst in one sense is a very simple and straightforward passage, often these simple and straightforward passages are the most profound. Because all of a sudden you start to analyse your own heart. You start to analyse your words and your conversations. And do my words honour God? Are my words helpful to the people of God? Do they strengthen? Do they edify? Or are my words damning, critical, judgmental, destructive? And out of the abundance of the heart, says Jesus, the mouth speaks. And so in Psalm 141 and verse 3, the psalmist says this, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. This is a prayer. Keep watch over the door of my lips. But Jesus here in this passage is saying this, that out of our hearts, there is a treasure that flows. And a good person, or a person that has found salvation and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, now has a treasure that can come forth from his heart. Why? Because God, by his grace, has transformed that person's heart, has transformed that person's desires. And so out of the heart, their mouth speaks. And so the more we discover concerning Jesus, and the more that he becomes a reality, a living reality to us, then we'll want to share this treasure. Like God has put this treasure in earthen vessels, where we're like clay pots. But God has revealed himself to us, and has imparted his grace to us so that we can grow. We can grow in our understanding of him. We can grow in his likeness. And we want to share it with others. And so we can say, wow, isn't it amazing that God, out of his love for us, has provided someone someone who is able to not only to forgive us, but is able to transform us and to transform us into new creations or new creatures. You see, you may have been a Christian for 30, 40 years. Praise God. But then, having walked with the Lord in the light of his word for 30, 40 years, there is real responsibility that comes with that privilege. That am I still going on? Am I still developing? Am I still maturing in love? Am I still the person that God intends me to be? Am I developing, growing? That's the key, isn't it? It's not a case of once you're saved, you're in the kingdom, let's move on to the next unconverted person. That's just the beginning of a lifetime, a beginning of a walk, a friendship, a relationship. And so out of our hearts, this treasure, if we're Christians this morning, that we should be imparting and sharing something of the kindness of God. And we saw this very recently, the reality of God. Now I've just put some little words down here. The Apostle Paul says that our conversations ought to be seasoned with grace. And so we should be using our lips and our tongues for praise of God and thanksgiving. That's why I think it was so important this morning that we give thanks to God and praise God for the work and ministry of camps. Otherwise we get into a new academic year, into a new season, and within a couple of weeks it will feel as if camp was so far away, it's almost just a distant memory. And we want to recognise that it's God's kindness and goodness. So praise and thanks that our lips are used to speak the truth, that we live lives of integrity, that we speak the wisdom of God, that our words are fitting and wholesome, and they're kind and sensitive, and they're loving and purposeful, and they're edifying and gentle, and I could go on. And all these things are true of God. So actually, the reality of God who lives in our hearts by his Spirit will enable us to speak these words of life, these words of truth, these words that will not hinder, but will not demoralize, will not distract, will not be damaging, but these words will be helpful in building people up and encouraging people. And so Jesus says here, that the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. Now, no one's good apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, by God's grace, we can know this good treasure. We can know and experience the grace and the mercy of God. But the person who continues to reject Jesus is described here as the evil person. And out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. When I was a child, I used to have a toy box. And had a heavy lid, so sometimes when I was very small, I'd need a help from a parent or an adult to open the lid. But inside, well, it was on my treasure chest. You had everything in there, you know, your Lego. I mean, Lego's still going, isn't it? It's amazing. Yeah. But you had your Lego, I had my toy soldiers. I had the British Army, and I had the Japanese Army and the Germans. And have a guess who always won. Always the British Army. And I'd line them all up and I'd start singing, "Who do you think you are kidding?" And, you know, and "Don't panic." And I'd come in, "Don't panic, it's all right. Okay." And I'd get involved like a treasure chest. But imagine if I'd gone to that toy box and it was empty. I'd be disheartened. There'd be nothing I could give or share. And there are some professing Christians today, they say they love the Lord, and yet the treasure chest within their hearts are empty. But can they be empty? Because if they're not filled with the grace and the mercy of God, they're filled with something else. They're filled with the rejection of God. They're filled with the hatred of God. And so this simple parable is A healthy tree will produce healthy fruit. Are you a healthy Christian this morning? Do your words, are they a true expression of your heart? Because what we say is an expression will reveal the extent and the state of our hearts. Or are we an unhealthy tree, a rotten tree, producing rotten fruit? And we're always sniping and criticizing, and we're always running people down, and we're always speaking about someone behind their back. And we'd never take the name of the Lord our God in vain. But we're using our words in a destructive way, a way that's not God honoring. If you turn to Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 10, it says this: if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that has got to be, says Paul, writing to the church in Corinth on another occasion, if any man says Jesus is Lord, he cannot say it unless the Holy Spirit's in him. So if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that has to be an expression of the heart. And so in that verse there in Romans 10, it says this: that if I confess that Jesus is Lord with my mouth, I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, he's a living Lord. He's a living God. He's a living Savior. What I believe in my heart is being expressed with my mouth. That's the point, isn't it? And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. Now look at verse 36. I tell you on the day of judgment. Now, interestingly, we're looking tonight at the day of judgment as we come to Revelation 16. You need to come. That's this evening, 6 o'clock. I tell you, says Jesus, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless, or some version says idle word, they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And of course, clearly, we're not justified by words. Okay? Clearly, we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying that if our hearts have been touched and our hearts have received the authentic grace of God, and Jesus is real and personal to us, then out of our heart that's been affected and transformed and touched by the grace of God, we will speak for him. We will stand up for him. We will share with others the wonder of who he is. And so our words are important. They can be powerful, and they can be powerful in a good way or a bad way. But we will be accountable for our words. Now listen, on the day of judgment, right, I'm not going to face any condemnation on the day of judgment because I'm in Christ. He's already been judged for my sin. But I will still have to give an account of how I've used my words and my conversations for his glory. Do you see that? I'm not going to be damned or judged and sent to an eternity in hell because Christ has already secured my place in heaven through his death and resurrection. He stood in my place. He took my sin upon himself. He atoned for my sin. He owned my sin. He bore the penalty for my sin. He died the death that I deserved. He rose again for my justification, that I might be restored before a living and holy God. But I will be held accountable for how I've used my words. Have I used them so that the kingdom can be advanced? Because that's the theme of Matthew's gospel. Will my words make a difference in God advancing his kingdom? Or will my words as a child of God, will there be a hindrance preventing the kingdom of God to advance in that way? You see that? Your words this morning carry weight. And as you're a child of God, and many of you are, that then you are ambassadors for him. And so when you speak for him. Now that's a tremendous responsibility, isn't it? So when an ambassador for the British government, when they speak, they are speaking on behalf of the British government. Hopefully they make more sense than the British government. But that's a different story, isn't it? That we are ambassadors of Christ. Who is speaking. And so the words that we utter and the words that we share, there's a consequence. But those who, with their words, resist, reject, abuse the grace and the mercy and the love of God, well, that's just an outpouring of their hearts, isn't it? So we've seen, particularly as we went through James's letter, that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. How's your heart this morning? I'm not talking that organ that's pumping the blood around your body. I'm talking about the real you. The real me. The depth in your being. Your character, your personality, your soul. Is it a soul that's been restored by the grace of God? Or is it a soul that lies dead in transgressions and sins? Is it a life that's lived out for the glory of Jesus? Or is it a life that's lived out in rejection of Jesus? So friends, Jesus says here, as we close this little section this morning, for by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. And so for the believer, his words will be imparting words of hope, words of life, words of comfort, words of grace. Yes, there will be times when we need to gently rebuke and correct, of course. We don't turn a blind eye to sin, do we? But it's not necessarily how we say it. It's what we say, it's how we say it. We can speak truth, but we can do it in an ungracious and unloving way. And sadly, lots of Christians are good at that. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth in a gracious way, in a way of integrity, in a way that honours God. Because one day we will have to give an account for the words that we utter, for the words that we sing. Well, we're going to sing as we close this morning. Hear the call of the kingdom.